and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us. Like never before, I'm determined not just to preach sermons or to preach or to teach by the enticing words of man's wisdom, or to educate the church by picking subjects or doctrines of our faith, to teach line upon line or precept upon precept, and to help people to be educated and informing the things of God. But one of the things that I'm determined to do, and it takes a lot of audacity and courage to do, is to learn to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church and declare it accordingly. And that is a very difficult leadership when you have to endeavor and cultivate the ability to hear what the Spirit is saying, as scripture so declare that let he that have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. And there are things that the Spirit is saying to us in this end time that we need to hear and to declare. And there are things the Spirit of God is saying to this house is not saying to another house. So there are things that I may preach here that may not be beneficial for another church, because they are not where we are and they are not dealing with what we are dealing with. Every two human beings are not the same. Every two women are not the same. Every two men are not the same. So your battle is not my battle. Your cross is not my cross. We all are born with different assignments. And each one of us have a race to run and a path to walk and a battle to fight, depending on what and why and reason for which we came. And as I was meditating in coming, the Spirit said to me, remind the church, that the adversary is not taking for granted what God said, and the war that was declared in the beginning in Genesis 3:15 before man came forth. And before you and I was born, before we became a clot in our mother's womb, before we stepped out of eternity into time, before we came into consciousness as human, a war was declared before we came. And irrespective of the color of your skin, your background, your land of nativity, and where your umbilical cord was buried, and who your father or your mother is, ladies and gentlemen, we are at war. We are at war. And this war was declared before we came and before we were born. And irrespective of your nationality and your educational background, you are at war. We are at war with unseen powers. We are at war with persons without bodies. We are at war with cosmic powers. And they see us, but we don't see them. They are real. They are real. And they know their time is short. Therefore, they are throwing everything they have at us like never before. And they take seriously the war that was declared, and they are relentless and determined to destroy us. And they have succeeded to veil you and I, to put us under the spell of general anesthesia, so that we are asleep. We are being killed. We are being injected and afflicted. And yet we can't see and we can't feel because we are under the spell of general anesthesia, and we've been made to believe by the preaching of grace that the warfare is over, Jesus won the battle, and we have nothing to fight. But if it is so, then Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, must apologize for Ephesians 6:12. Because he was the one that brought the revelation of grace than no one else. And Paul must apologize for Ephesians 6:12 when the Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle." There is a wrestling going on, whether you believe it or not. There is a wrestling going on. And it's a wrestling between us and unseen forces. These are invisible powers, and they are real. And whether you believe it or not, they are wrestling with our minds and our emotions and our will and our bodies. We are at war. Whether you believe it or not, we are dealing with cosmic powers, principalities, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And it doesn't matter what your theology is and what your belief is, ladies and gentlemen, we are at war. And this war was declared before you and I was born. Genesis 3 and 15. Genesis 3 and 15. And God declared himself.
And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
This was the proclamation of the ongoing war. Long before you and I came, it was declared. And the adversary takes it seriously. And for whatever reason, he has succeeded to veil us, to believe that everything is okay, to believe that everything is fine. But everything is not fine. It's an ongoing battle, and it's a daily battle. The Bible said that his mercies are renewed every morning. And great is his faithfulness. Mercy every morning for 365 days. You might say, "I had the victory yesterday, so I'm fine." Yesterday's victory cannot help you today. The deception of the enemy is to have men to sleep and to believe that because we won the victory yesterday, we are done. You are joking. When a heavyweight or a lightweight champion fights and wins the battle and gets the trophy, someone else is coming after him, and he must defend it. Tell somebody, you have to defend the victory. You must defend it. That is what we don't understand. We think we just fasted last week, so we are good. Let's relax. Let's eat and drink. You are joking. He's on your tail. He wants that victory you just had. He's not letting you go and letting you lose. It's an ongoing battle. Don't be fooled and don't be deceived. He never relents. He takes Genesis 3:15 seriously. When we go to sleep and relax and believe that Jesus has fought the battle and has done it all. Yes, he did, but it must be enforced. The victory does not come on a silver platter. You must enforce it. Tell somebody, you must enforce it. The Bible said, "By his stripes we were healed." How come so many Christians are sick and are dying? The Bible said he became poor that we might become rich. Why are a lot of believers broke and poor and in need and in debt? It's not automatic. The Bible said that the blessing of Abraham may or might, say might. Use that word, say might come upon the Gentiles. Say that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. He did not say that the blessing of Abraham will come upon the Gentiles. He said might. It's conditional. It's not automatic. So don't be fooled. Don't go around walking and say, Abraham, blessings are mine. Abraham, blessings are mine. Abraham, blessings are only yours on the condition that you enforce and appropriate it and you do what is required in order for you to see the manifestation of Abraham's blessing. It's not automatic. Stop being fooled and deceived. That, the blessing of Abraham, might, is conditional. Long life is ours. I will satisfy you with long life and show you my salvation. And the Bible says, for God has given unto us all things that pertain to life and unto godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us unto glory and unto virtue, not unto shame or defeat. But it's not automatic. Through the knowledge of him, through the knowledge of him, through the knowledge of him. That word knowledge there means prenostos in the Greek. Prenostos means illumination or enlightenment or light. You can have eyes and still not see. Try and be in a dark room, no light, and try to walk around. You hurt yourself, even though you have eyes. Jesus said, eyes have they, but they see not. And that's why the first thing God did before creation was to proclaim, let there be light. I need light, I need illumination. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but as never before, I need more light. I need light, for thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The entrance of thy word giveth light and understanding to the simple. Like never before, we need light. I was telling somebody that folks in the darkness can see those in the light. Why is those in the light cannot see those in the darkness? And I've watched it a few times. Sometimes I'll be in one of my offices and I'll turn on the light in another office and I can't see what is in that room because it's dark. But if I go into that room in the dark, I can see everything in the light. So that you that are in the light may not see those in the darkness, but those in the darkness see you. And that is the reason why we take for granted the battle we are involved in. That is the reason why we relax and we take so much for granted and allow the adversary to work against us, because he makes us to believe that everything is okay, everything is fine. God is in control. He never slumbers nor sleeps, so you can go to sleep. You can relax. There is a place to rest and to relax and to sleep. I understand that. But spiritually, there is no room to relax spiritually. There is no room to sleep spiritually. We need to be vigilant. We need to be awake. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. Why? For your adversary, the devil is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour us. He wants to devour our families and our loved ones. And how he does it is to deceive and veil us and make us to believe that everything is okay. Go sleep, relax. And yet the Bible said, when men slept, then the adversary rose out and sowed tares among the wheat. And the servant said, didn't you sow a good seed? And what is this? And the master said to the servant, an enemy has done this. An enemy is sowing tares among us. An enemy is sowing things beside the wheat. An enemy is working side by side with your loved ones, your kids, your seed, your family. An enemy is working. Wise men sleep spiritually. I'm talking about spiritual slumber. Oh, Ido Soko Father Hasis. Malaika Tuda Vidi Apalasud. Lift up your hands, talk to the Father. Selaku Vadima Anti Sandakahas. Idei Kadala Ibandi Awalasiki Antalasas. Eiki Labahasupa Ifakundalasa. Our nation is in trouble. Our communities are suffering. Our families are under attack. Yea, thou that answered prayer, arise, contend. I, Ikosanta, Onaduva, Ikambula, Hasima, Meleki, Tula, Wasika, Dibala, Adabasa, Ipolaba, Hasataya. Amen. 1 Timothy 6 and 12. 1 Timothy 6 and 12. 1 Timothy 6.
Fight the good fight of faith.
Do what?
Fight the good fight of faith.
Do what?
Fight the good fight of faith.
I am not interested in fighting. I love peace like you. But there is no victory and peace without a fight. Peace is not automatic. Peace and victory is a result of fighting and winning the fight. So don't be fooled. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, Ephesians 6:12 talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle. Then 1 Timothy 6:12 talks about fighting the good fight of faith. Look at it. Ephesians 6:12. 1 Timothy 6:12. Same thing. Fight the good fight of faith. There is a fight. There's a victory that must be won. Every promise of God is enforced. The laws of countries don't enforce themselves. There are law enforcement agents. And even the law enforcement agents don't fight alone. They go two by two. And sometimes they need reinforcement. And they just don't go unarmed. They go armed. And even with ammunition, sometimes they need reinforcement. I am calling for reinforcement today. I said I'm calling for reinforcement. To enforce the promises of God, because we are at war. And don't be deceived and be fooled by the teachers of our day, whose judgment will be more than even the false prophets, because they preach what is convenient with men and what men like to hear, itching ears, what makes people relax and what makes people happy. Before I traveled to America, I was on the compound on a Saturday having the school of ministry. And this young, beautiful lady, very prophetic with her husband, came to see me and she was going for a surgery and she shook my hand. And when she shook my hand, I perceived and felt that her soul was shaky in her body. Her soul was shaky in her body. And I ignored it. And I said, are you afraid? And she said, no. And I said, don't be afraid, you'll be fine. And I left. And she went for the surgery. A surgery that would take 2 hours, took about 7 to 8 hours. Cut a long story short, she was put on life support and she passed away a few weeks ago. She died. Beautiful, 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 prophetic young lady. Married a few years, can't have baby, struggling with bleeding. She had fibroid, she was bleeding. And she wanted to end the bleeding, so she went for surgery. Those of you who have been to surgery, and you've come back alive, and you think it was the doctor, it was the hospital, and it was because of the skill of the doctor. You are joking. You are joking. It's just the mercy of God. You are only here because God showed you mercy. And don't take it for granted. Don't take for granted that you are back alive and strong on your feet. You never will appreciate health until you are sick. Some of you don't know what it means to have hands to clap. You don't know what it means to have hands to clap. We take so much for granted in life. We think we work hard. We think we are smart. We think we are who we are because of the school we attended, our connection, and who we know. You are joking. It's just mercy, and it's just grace. It's grace. It's nothing but grace. Paul said, I labored more abundantly than them all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Please stop taking credit for where you are, who you are, and give God the credit that is only by grace and mercy that you are who you are and you are where you are. Put your hands together, somebody, and give God some praise. And don't just praise God with your mouth or your hands. Praise Him with your pocket. Praise Him with your money. Praise Him with your time. Make a statement. Do something for the church to show God a sense of gratitude. Amen. Genesis chapter 4, verse 8.
And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. Mm-hmm. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him.
What makes a blood brother? From the same womb, from the same loins. To slay his own blood brother, bone after his bone, flesh after his flesh, in cold blood. That was in Cain. That was the seed of the serpent. He was doing his job. Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel had forgotten the declaration of the war in Genesis 3:15. And Satan hadn't. He took it very seriously. And he rose up in Cain, accessed Cain through his insecurity and a sense of rejection that his brother had done better than him. And therefore, he became jealous, envious, insecure, felt rejected because his brother had had acceptance of God. And that became an opening, and the seed of the serpent entered, accessed him, and deployed his emotions and his feelings and his will and his mind, and said, I will deploy and use you as a tool, as a vehicle, as a weapon to slay the seed of the woman. I will kill your brother through you. The enemy is slaying us through one another. He's killing us every day. Because he employs our emotions, our thought patterns, our imaginations, and he uses us to hurt one another. Every day, somebody is dying, somebody is being slain from among us through another, and we think it is Cain, but it's the seed of the serpent at work and very active, and he has made us through deception. And through his veil, he succeeds to make us passive. Whilst he's very active and relentless against us. I did not ask you to clap. Who clapped? If you are clapping, then do it better. And people said, and Cain slew his brother. No, it wasn't Cain. Cain became a tool, a weapon, an instrument. The Bible talks about a brother or a sister offended becomes a tool and a weapon in the hands of the enemy. Whenever you are offended, whenever you are hurt, you become a tool and a weapon in the hand of the enemy. That's what the Bible says. Don't let the sun go down on your anger, because if you don't check it, from anger, it will become violence. From violence, it becomes murder. So you have to check your anger. And I know somebody is offended about something. And if you don't check it, you become a weapon and a tool in the hands of the enemy. But there are consequences for every action. Cain never went unpunished. He was punished even though he was used as a weapon. And Satan is already judged and condemned. He's already judged. The verdict on Satan's end is already determined. That's why you will see a madman walking on the street and he can eat anything from the garbage, from the street, and he will not have any problem with infection. He will not be sick. But you go shaking everybody's hand, and when you finish, don't wash your hand with soap and go eat and you catch an infection. And nothing happens to the madman. Have you ever seen a madman having a headache or malaria? A madman rushed to the hospital. The madman has malaria. The madman don't have malaria. Why? Because he's already Satan's captive. He's already taken. He's a vehicle. He's a tool, an instrument. And Satan has to keep him alive so he can enjoy using him. But you try to do and eat what the madman eats and you die. So people can do things and nothing happens to them, and you try it and you are. And I tell my children, I said, you can say you are above 18, but let me tell you, there are things others will do and your friends will do and they will be okay, and you try it and it will not be okay. And that is what I did. When my mom took seed of me, she bled for 4 months. And Dr. Sakwamante said, Florence, you are not going to make it. You are anemic. You are bleeding. And you will not be able to carry this pregnancy. And in those days, they did a D&C and aborted the pregnancy. Months after that, the stomach kept growing. They went back to theater and they realized that apparently we were twins. And my twin was taken away. And through somebody's prayers, through the prayers of the Lord Jesus, some way, somehow, I survived the DNC. And I was in my father's house, a little boy in Kumasi, and I was told that my temperature was so high, and nobody knew it. And my mother came to visit me, and when she came, she was then and then she touched me and realized that my temperature was so high, picked me up and sent me to G Hospital, I call it, at the Kumasi. And when I got in there, apparently I've had an infection with a boil at my behind. And an Indian doctor just checked and said, we need to operate immediately. Took me to the operation table and had to cut open it out to save my life. And from one thing to the other, until I started smoking marijuana, and none of my friends had the problems I had. When I smoked marijuana, I started having hallucinations, hearing voices, put my hand into fire and bent 3 of my fingers, and I was not conscious of what I had done until my father wept and said, Nicholas, your right hand will never be the same like your left hand unless you do plastic surgery. Then I came to myself and went off again. And I was at Kolebu for 4 months on the bed of affliction. Saw all kinds of things that nobody saw. I was literally off. Couldn't deal with the reality of life and did not know what was happening. Next to me was put a man who was put there to lead me to another religion and converted me to one religion for 4 months. And it was before I left, an Indian scientist, Dr. Raj, came and led me to Christ, and I converted to Christianity, gave my life to Christ, and that was the beginning of my journey at what age at Kolebu. And I can give you, I remember I had an accident at Bolgatanga many years ago, right opposite Edu Jemfi quarters, next to the Bolgatanga High Court. And the truck somersaulted into the valley. And I screamed, Jesus! And a hand picked me from under my shoulder, set my feet right on the hill on the street there, and many lives were dead. When I speak about Jesus, it's not about what somebody wrote. It's not a story or what I heard. It's a personal experience. It's what I have encountered. Somebody screamed the name Jesus. Somebody screamed the name Jesus. I am not ashamed of calling the name of Jesus. Because the Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee of things in heaven, on earth, and beneath shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is anybody hearing me? Put your hands together and give God praise. It's not what I read. It's not what I was told. It's what I've experienced. And when it comes to dealing with the enemy, for me, it's personal. And I know that evil is not satisfied till it destroys good. And I know that the target of evil is good. And there are so many good people dying every day. And between now and the end of the year, if we don't rise up, stand our ground, maintain the pressure on the enemy, and we go to sleep or relax spiritually, so many may die prematurely who must live and must not die because we held our peace and did nothing, all in the name of it is well. You have no right to sing that song, it is well, until you know and pay the price the songwriter have paid. We sing songs and we don't even understand the songs and the meaning of it. The spirit of Cain is still slaying people. I spoke to a gentleman in America who has lost 5 loved ones, all believers, from January to August. And has been made to believe that it is well. And I said to him, young man, I don't understand your faith, but you are at war. And whatever killed them will come after you if you don't rise up and stop being naive and ignorant. And stop believing that God is in control. Because God is not in the business of killing your loved ones. That is not God. God has no pleasure in killing even the sinner. Much more believers. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And there's so much ignorance in the church. And I found that Christians are more ignorant than even unbelievers. And it shocks me, it surprises me, it beats my mind and intelligence how the enemy has, through his sophistication and his depth, veiled believers to just believe that because we are Christians, born again, everything is all right, and puts us to sleep and we relax. Why is he aggressively hitting us on every side? But today, in the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, I command and declare, let the weak be strong. Let the sleeping giants awake. Let everyone under the sound of my voice come alive. Break the veil, the blindness, the deception, and command and proclaim freedom, divine escape and deliverance. I pray for your release. I pray that you will be empowered. The word blessing means to be empowered. I pray that never before, like never before, wherever you are, hearing the sound of my voice, that you will be empowered with the anointing of God, empowered by revelation, empowered by illumination, empowered by the grace of God. Because these are the days of the outpouring of the Spirit of God like never before. But the outpouring will come to men and women who understand the times we live in. The Bible said, and of the sons of Issachar, who were men that had revelation, illumination, understanding of the times, knew what to do. If you don't have understanding of what the time is, the enemy can afflict and take advantage of you. But I pray today for illumination, that every one of you that hears the sound of my voice will arise to the occasion and will not be put to sleep. I rebuke spiritual slumber. I come against all forms of spiritual slumber. In the name of Jesus, I command the embargoes of wickedness to be lifted off this house. In the name of Jesus. Genesis chapter 4, verse 25 and 26.
And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And
who was cut off? That word slew means cut off. There are two ways to leave this earth. You die or you are killed. And when you are killed, simply means you were cut off. I pray that none of us will be cut off. Because you are cut off when you are a seed of promise and you don't even know who you are. Because the enemy succeeds in veiling us not to know who we are. And to think we are just ordinary people. We are not ordinary people. We are a holy priesthood. We are a seed of promise. You are a man of destiny and a woman of destiny. You are not a mistake. You are not here by chance. You are not who you are and where you are for nothing. There is a reason for your being. And you may not know it, but the adversary knows who you are and how dangerous you are, and is coming after you. And it's time for you to stand your ground, maintain the pressure of the enemy, and fight. Put your hands together and shout yes. Read it again, Genesis 4.
And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, said she, have appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew.
Whom Cain slew. That is the work of the enemy. I pray that none of our seed will be cut off. Cut it off. He wants to cut off our seed. He's interested in the promised seed. The seed of destiny. The seed of promise. That is what he's looking for. And she said, God has given me another seed. I pray that your seed will not be cut off. That your seed will not perish. That you preserve and fight for that seed. And any seed of the righteous attacked under any form of attack, captured by the enemy, we go for the rescue of that seed. We proclaim a rescuing for that seed. We put up a fight for the rescue, deliverance, and release of that seed. Put your hands together. Command the release of every seed of the righteous. Captured. Overtaken. Hijacked. Let the seed be released. We lose every seed captured by the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Sadihaba. Matala Kabaha. Ikatambora Handayasa. Melei kadala habasuba, paranda kalavo sombo dasa, iko talanda basataya. Hallelujah. Genesis 5 and 24. Genesis 5 and 24.
And Enoch walked with God, and it was not, for God took him.
God took him. He was alone. He was a seed all by himself alone. And God took him. There are so many people who have been taken from among us who must never be taken, because they become target of the enemy. All alone. And don't even know why they are gone and taken. But I pray that you won't be alone. But you have a company of like-minded and like-faith people. So you are not alone. Exodus 1:22.
And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive.
So many died. So many innocent people and kids were thrown into the Nile River, cut off, died prematurely, didn't know what took them out, didn't gain consciousness, came to the earth, but did not survive, just because of one son of promise by the name of Moses. You have no idea of how many lives have been lost and taken because of you. You are a target of evil. And you can't be ignorant. I don't take too many things for granted, because even with my alertness, I've seen the enemy hit me in so many areas. Something happened the Sunday before I left on a Sunday night during those time of praise and worship, something happened. I was sitting in my office and I felt some discomfort and I called for someone. And when I was told what happened, I said, God, what happened? How come everybody missed it? The enemy is good at what he does. He uses the very things we believe in to get us. He doesn't use things we don't believe in. The young prophet was told by God, don't eat, don't drink. Prophesy, get out. And no prophet came and told him, God said to me, he told you not to eat and drink. And nobody knew it but him. And he said, the Lord said to me that he told you not to drink and eat here. But he has changed his mind. You can eat and drink. So come with me. He used the very thing the young prophet believed in. And after the young prophet came to his house and ate and drank, then he said, now, thus says the Lord, because you disobey what God told you through me, and you drank and you ate, you won't get home. A lion will attack you on the road and kill you. And it happened. He's not going to use what we don't, but he uses the very thing we believe in to get us. And that's where we need to be guided. Matthew chapter 2, verse 16.
Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men.
His target again was Jesus, the seed of the woman, the promised seed. He wanted to cut him off. The enemy don't take chances with us. I keep telling people. I keep telling my family, my loved ones. And I said, this enemy, when he gets you, he won't take any chances. So stop believing that, oh, you'll be fine. You won't be fine. Because he's not playing. He's looking at cutting you off. That is it. When he comes at us, he doesn't come at you giving you any chance to escape. He comes with everything and the bottom line cut off. That's it. And even though God had the power to preserve Jesus in Israel, he said to the father, the angel said, take the child out of town. The Bible said, he brought us out that he might bring us in. I now understand how in my days of youth, I had to move to different places. I had no idea of what God was doing. Now I understand why I grew up in some very strange places, lived in all kinds of places. I never settled anywhere. Today I was here, tomorrow I was there. It was like something was looking for me. I was being pursued and God had to keep me in different places to disorganize and confuse the enemy. I'm not saying that is also for you. That was for me. I was brought up in a different way. I was trained in the jungles. I was trained in the jungles of Africa. I live in some strange places. And with some strange human beings. And that's why I understand what I understand about the enemy. Because I have some insight because of my own upbringing and experience. And places I live and things I know. You can't tell me I didn't see what I saw. Can't tell me. I know it. God was preparing me for today. And what the enemy meant for evil, God turned for good. I pray for you and your family that whatever the enemy has meant for evil, that it will turn for good. Somebody say, turn for my good. Somebody say, I turn it for my good, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Sit down for five minutes before anything. Come with me to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 36. Just 5 minutes. Matthew 10:36. Look at something.
And a man's foes shall be they of his own household.
You see, the enemy have succeeded to make us always believe that what is fighting us is out there. is a lie. What is fighting us is riding here. Tell somebody he's among us. The enemy is not out there. It's here. There's a parable in tree. Abuebi beka one, everyone too many. What is fighting us is not out there. What is fighting us is very familiar and it's very close. I'm telling you. Very intimate. You know, I was telling the first service how Jacob married in the night. You know, in those days, there were no electricity in those days. And he saw a beautiful young lady by the name of Rachel and fell in love and said, "This is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, and it is all I ever need." And went to the father and said, "How do I have her as my wife?" And the father said, "You got to work for me for 7 years." And he said, "Okay, 7 years, you have my time and my skill and everything." And he worked for her for 7 years. And after 7 years, he went to the father and said, "I have fulfilled my side of the bargain. Give me my wife." And the father said, "Okay, get ready. Tonight, you get married." He married in the night. There was no light. Number two, Leah. They covered their faces with a black veil. So when it was time for the wedding, the father-in-law switch. Somebody say switch. Hey. Aya Kumasa. I pray that there will be no switching of destinies and blessings in our life and in this house. The father-in-law switched and gave him Leah. Leah. That wasn't what he bargained for. Do you know how many people are living with things they didn't bargain for? And the Bible said he slept with her all night long and did not know that it was not Rachel, but it was Leah. Somebody say heavy, heavy. Somebody say mercy. Oh, say it like I said it. Mercy. All night. Slept with Leah all night. Who are you sleeping with? All night. Then the Bible said, when it was day, then he saw that it was Leah and not Rachel. Hear me. A season, it's not a day, a week, a month, or a year. When the Bible says, weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. A night is a season. It's not a day. It's not a week, a month, or a year. A night can be a season in your life. It can be 10 years, 20, 30, 40 years. It can be the season of the night until your day comes. And the day here stands for light, illumination, or revelation. So until revelation comes, until light comes, until your day comes, you can still be in your night season. And as long as you are in your night season, you will never confront what is killing you and what is afflicting you. And when the day came, and the Bible didn't tell us how many hours or days or years it took, but when his day came, he saw that what he had been sleeping with throughout the night season was not Rachel, but it was Leah. And he went to the father-in-law, confronted him. You will never have the audacity and the courage to confront the altar of your pain until you see what you are dealing with. It was when his day came and the light came and he saw that it was not Rachel, but it was Leah. Then he gathered the courage and the audacity to go confront the altar of his complication and pain and said, "What have you done to me?" And the father-in-law said, "Young man, it's your ignorance that did it, not me." And he said, "What did I do?" He said, in this culture, there is a tradition and a law that you don't give the youngest to marriage. Why is the elder? The eldest is not married. So I just applied the law and I had to switch it. There was a technicality and a legality, and a legality that was used against him to switch it. He wanted one woman. He ended up with four. You think everybody likes what they are dealing with? Not everybody is dealing and living with what they are dealing with by a choice. Some is a setup. He married Leah, and Leah could not have kids. And in those days, the dispensation allowed that he could have children with Leah's maid. Then for another 7 years, he had to work for what he loved. And watch this. His deliverance was prolonged because of darkness. The enemy has prolonged the victory and deliverance of so many of us because of ignorance and the lack of illumination. But I pray today that there will be divine acceleration. That God will cut it short in righteousness and give you a testimony before it's too long. If you believe it, put your hands together and say yes. The Bible said, and Jacob wrestled with an angel all night long. All night long. It was a season. Psalm 91. Moses talked about the terror at night. The pestilence in darkness. At night, Moses, Psalm 91. Very scary. Very interesting stuff in Psalm 91. And Jacob wrestled with an angel all night long. And when it was day, the angel said, the battle is about to change. The season is changing. Jacob is going to have the upper hand. I got to get out of here before he prevails against me. And the angel said, you got to let me go. You got to let me go. And the angel said, I got to go. And Jacob said, no, you can't go. It's now my turn. The darkness has changed. The night has changed. The season is now my turn. I have the upper hand. I need to bargain. I need something from you. The angel said, you pay for it. He touched the hollow of his thigh and said, that is the price it will take for you to get what you want. You see, nothing comes on a silver platter. We want everything free. Nothing is free. You got to pay a price. And the angel said, you pay a price. I'll touch you. I'll break something. Dislocate and get you to become physically dependent. I will make you the poor in spirit. Today we don't have the poor in spirit anymore. We have the proud in spirit. Poor in spirit means total and absolute reliance and dependence on God and humility. There's no humility in the church anymore. Too much pride, too much arrogance, spiritual pride and arrogance because of numbers and money. It has gotten into our head and there is no humility anymore. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the earth or the kingdom. We have become so proud and arrogant that we can't even apologize. We can't forgive. We can't relate to anybody because we've broken through. We are so successful. You are sick. Let me conclude. Hey, I want to talk to you for some few minutes about household wickedness. You know, when I was coming, the Lord said, deal with the spirit of Atalia. So last night, I met Bishop, and I said, Bishop, I'm preaching tomorrow. I want to deal with Atalia. He showed me his note. He didn't know I was coming, and he was going to tell the people where you were going to deal with.
Household wickedness, the spirit of Atalia.
Same thing. He was going to deal with the spirit of Atalia, and when I said, Joel was there, when I said, I want to deal with Atalia, he said, it's impossible. I said, don't try me. It is possible. Don't try me. It is possible. Atalia, household wickedness. And some of you think your enemy and the enemy you are dealing with is out there. No. It's intimate. It's close. Paul called it a thorn in the flesh. A messenger of Satan. A thorn in the flesh. A thorn within your walls. A thorn within your own environment. A thorn. A thorn. A thorn. Household wickedness. The spirit of Athaliah. Men and women with great destinies and fortunes are falling and are dying prematurely. And I pray between now and the end of this year that none among us, let no son of promise, let no daughter of promise be cut off. In the name of Jesus, we interrupt the sword of the adversary. Quickly, quickly. Look at 2 Chronicles 21. Verse 5 and 6. 2 Chronicles 21, verse 5 and 6.
Jehoram was 32 years old mm-hmm. when he began to reign. Mm-hmm. And he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, mm-hmm. like as did the house of Ahab. Mm-hmm. For he had the daughter of Ahab to wife. And he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord.
This was the daughter of Jezebel. Like mother, like daughter. The mother was reigning through Ahab and had Israel or Samaria under her control. Raised up her daughter, Athaliah, to marry king of Judah, to take hold of Judah. The enemy we are dealing with is a long-term enemy. He's relentless. He never relaxes. He has an agenda. We have no agenda. But he has an agenda. What is your agenda? That is why we relax. He has an agenda. Second Chronicles. No, second, 1 Kings 21, 25 and 26, quickly.
But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all things as did the Amorites, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel.
He was wicked because he had a woman who had an anointing to infect him, vex him, provoke him to do evil, stir him up to do evil before God, and raise up a daughter who did the same to the husband. I tell my spiritual sons and biological sons, and I said, it's not enough to see a woman and love her and like her because she looks good. You got to find out who the mother is and go beyond the mother. Find out who the grandmother is. It's not enough to just marry a woman because she's spiritual, she looks beautiful and calm. No, you have to check her DNA. You got to access the DNA. You got to check the bloodline. Because you are not just marrying a woman or a man. You are marrying a house. You are going to a house. In the olden days when you are going to marry, the parents will say, let's go find out. Yanko Bisem. And they'll go to find out who is the mother, who is the father, whose son, whose daughter. Where does she or he comes from? Today we don't check. We just see the man, see the woman, feel good, marry and announce, and don't know what you are getting yourself into. Maluta, Ikolomu Fasadahas, Elei Kamahas, Labvaduvarahamana Masuka, Ipora Sadahabku, Elei Kamadulisi Balaha. So many good men and so many good women have compromised their destinies, have been held at ransom, find themselves in a relationship of life imprisonment with hard labor. Because they never checked the DNA of the person they were marrying, never investigated her background or his background. Just see him dressed cool and good like Papa. and just think that Charlie, the guy is cool, but do you know my DNA? Do you know my bloodline? Do you know the house I come from? When my father died and we took him to his village, Akuma Dao of Finso, and we entered into his house, my siblings are sitting here, and I saw all those people come out. My father's aunties and uncles, when I saw them, I said, aha, I now understand the man's battle. And I said, after this man is buried, I disengage, disentangle, disconnect, lose, free, proclaim, I am acquitted, discharged, lose forever. I don't know any one of you. I'm God. Years after, one of them came from the village to my house at my gate, and I saw her through the television. And I said to security, ask her who she is. Then she said, she's so and so. Who's Missy Wow, this, that, from my father's village. And I said, release the dogs to bark. You can look at me any way you want to look at me. Say whatever you want to say. I cannot lie. I said, release the dog to bark. When the dog started barking, she said, Biko. So you better leave here. I don't know you. What do you want from me? I don't know you. I tell my sons and my daughters, I said, you see men and women walking so beautifully. Before you marry, check where they come from. Go and see their village and find out who will take care of your children. Because you can't stop your mother-in-law or father-in-law from coming to your house. And if Satan is your father-in-law and your mother-in-law, you can't bind them. You can't cast away your father-in-law and your mother-in-law. And you can say, the mother is Satan, the father is Jezebel. You can say whatever you want to say. The fact of the matter is that when you marry, you are under obligation to honor your father-in-law and your mother-in-law. So anytime they knock at your door and they come in, I say, oh. And say, give me the baby. Give me the baby. Hey. Let me finish. I know you are very spiritual, so let me finish. Hallelujah. Okay, let's look at 2 Chronicles 21, 10 and 11. Let's finish. These are practical things nobody is talking about.
2 Chronicles 22, let's take it from verse 10. Mm-hmm. But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead.
You see, this was a very interesting woman. Athaliah. And the spirit of Athaliah is still among us. He's still here. He's still here.
When she saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah.
Do you know who all the seed of the royal was? Her grandchildren. And it was believed, it was also believed by Bible historians that she killed her son. Because if you look at the trend of event, the son went to a state visit. On his way back, died. The Bible didn't tell us how he died, but he died. On a state visit, coming back, young man. And the husband had already died. And God knows why he also died and what killed him. There are people who have their eyes on your throne. I'm telling you. Tell somebody, do you know you have a throne? Do you know you have a throne? You have a throne. And somebody have their eyes on the throne. They want your seat. I override anyone who wants this seat. I block them. I release divine judgment over anybody who has their eyes on my seat. Let them die prematurely. You think I'm joking, but I'm telling you. Are you hearing me? If you like, let me take some time off, about 6 months or 3 months. Leave the scene. And just announce that Papa is not around anymore. Watch and see what will happen in this church. You will see Pan Logo and Sayo and Agbaja. You see people you thought were spiritual. They will become carnal. I'm telling you. You will see. Masha Axe. be shocked. And that day will never come. By the grace of God, I will set my house in order. I'm not joking. I'm not ignorant at all. I know a lot. As you see me walking here laughing, I know a lot. And I will bury every one of them, whoever they are. I'm speaking to the wind to carry the message to them. Whoever they are, I will bury every one of you and wash my hands with water when I finish. You were in there when God called me. You were not there. How dare you think just coming around to help with your gifts, you can take what is mine. There are people who have their eyes on what is yours and their intimate, Atalia, a mother, kills the son. Sit down, your husband dies. Then your young son dies. Then after your son dies, you kill all your grandchildren. And then sat on the throne your husband and your son was sitting on. What kind of a mother are you, Atalia? He's there. Don't look at me. Read the Bible. Go ahead, Bishop.
By Jehoshabeth, the daughter of the king took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nest in a bedchamber. So Jehoshabeth, the daughter of King Jehoram, the wife of Jehoiada, the priest, for she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah, so that she slew him not.
The only one of the grandchildren that was not slain was the one, a daughter of a priest. Are you hearing me? A wife of a priest. Hid that one. Listen, the only escape for our children and our seed is to tie them to the altar. Because if we leave them out, they will slay them. Everybody was afraid, so they sat down and Atalia slew everybody. And this wife of a man of God said, I am not afraid of Atalia. Somebody must be preserved. We must fight for somebody. We have to preserve the seed. So she went for one of the kids and said, I will not let this one die. We will not let this child die. Let not the seed of the righteous die. Let not the seed of the righteous perish. Somebody say, not this one, not this one. Somebody say, not this one, not this one. Say, Satan, take your hands off. Take your hands off. Loose him, loose him. Say, not this one, not this one. You can't have this one. Put your hands together and declare, not this one, not this one. Not my seed, not my seed. Not my seed, not this one. Put your hands together. Open your mouth. Stand on your feet. Pray. I can't hear you. I can't hear you. Not this one. Not this one. Not my seed. Open your mouth and declare, not this one. Not this one. Loose this seed. You can't have this one. You can't have this one. If you will not let my seed go, I will kill you. Let them go for our seed. I will contend with those who contend with you. I will deliver your children. Feed them with their own flesh and let them be drunk with their own blood. Open your mouth, somebody. Don't hold your peace. Put aside dignity. Fight for your legacy. Fight for your children. Fight for your grandchildren. Bind the spirit of Atalia. Every household wickedness, we bind it in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and bind every household wickedness in the name of Jesus. We bind it.